right. Daniel chapter number 6 this morning, please. Daniel and chapter number 6. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter together this morning and trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts and help us this morning. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set over him the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except that we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents," bunch of lying devils, "all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, even as he did aforetime. Now may the Lord add his richest blessing to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's ask the Lord to please help our hearts, help us to be attentive this morning and alert. May the Spirit of God move on our hearts and draw us like a magnet unto God, that we might soak our souls and saturate our spirit today in spiritual matters. Our Father, we are thankful that we can gather together in this place this day. I thank you for the blessed Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. I thank you, Lord, that it altereth not, that it cannot be changed. I want to thank you for its writing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that it's been to my life, for direction so many times it's given me. I want to praise you, Lord, for using your Word to correct us and, Lord, to comfort us. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for dying upon the cross that we might be saved. Now I need your divine help. Without it, Lord, I can do nothing. I pray that you will bless me that I might be a blessing. I pray that you'll open our hearts to this great truth and save old sinners. And Lord, would you please revive the spirit of your people, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I think you probably know that verse 10 this morning is where I want to draw our thought from, where the Bible said that now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Notice this next statement, please. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, if God will help me for a little while this morning, I want to take that thought out of that verse and make application to it if I can, and preach for a little while on open windows of the heart. The open windows of our heart. I think that our heart needs to be open to God, that we might receive from Him what He would, and likewise, that we may make our communication in prayer before God. And so I want to try to preach for a little while on that this morning. Our open are the open windows of our heart. The sixth chapter of Daniel now closes out the historical events in the life of this great prophet. Six chapters deal with the historical part of David's life and the people of God in captivity. And beginning in chapter 7 through the remainder of the book, we find the prophetic aspect of the book of Daniel. As chapter 6 commences, we find that Daniel has been promoted in the kingdom of Darius the Mede. We learned last week that God brought judgment on Belshazzar. Now, I want to say, my friend, that God will bring judgment upon all that sin and then refuse to turn from that sin. Here you can be sure that your sin will find you out. God will judge sin. In that same night, God set down a man by the name of Belshazzar and then raised up Darius, who was king of the Medes. We saw that the head of gold had accomplished its days, and then the chest and the breast and the arms that were of silver, that Medo-Persian Empire had its origin and begins here in chapter number 6. Now, one thing I want to say about Daniel, he's no longer the young man of chapter number 1. My friend, you'll learn that down the road that men grow old. You're not going to stay young all the days of your life. And Daniel is no longer that young man that he was in chapter 1. But I want to say this before I go any further, and it's not in my notes. I'm glad, thank God, as an old man, he's standing true to the Word of God, just like he was, my friend, as a young man. Somebody said, preacher, does age cause a man to deteriorate in his faithfulness to God? I don't believe so. For the Bible said when those kings and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, they were unable to do that because Daniel was yet faithful, not only in his work for the king, but Daniel was faithful in his servitude to God. I want to say, my friend, on authority of the Word of God, that as a man or a woman working out in the public, bless your heart, you can be faithful to someone in the secular world and yet remain faithful to God all at the same time. I doubt very seriously that we today have had the pressure put on us that Daniel had on him, and yet they found no occasion against Daniel in his service in that kingdom, but they had to seek out and find some occasion against the law of his God and the God that he served. Amen. And he's not a young man. He's now probably 80 or maybe even 90 years old. And I want to say this right here, that you can't get too old to be used of God either. That old saying, well, a preacher, are you going to retire? You might as well hang that up. I've had some to ask me, Brother Hall, you're getting a little older and maybe a little weaker in your body and got that disease, or you planning on retiring anyways near soon? Well, my reply is, no, I'm not looking to retire. I'm looking to refire. Hallelujah to God. I'm looking for another fire to begin to burn in my soul that I might go on preaching the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, I'm telling you, I'm saved in the glory. I want to live in the glory. I want to die in the glory. I want to go out in the glory. I want to keep on serving God in the glory world until He has died with me in this life. Amen. No, I'm not going to retire. So don't y'all get any wise ideas, all right? About some young buck while I'm gone. He ain't looking to retire. Daniel's between 80 and 90 years old. And he's still serving God. He's not a little young boy. He's a man of wisdom. He's got gray hair in his temples. He's lived a little while. And living a little while, he's learned a few things. And in learning a few things, my friend, it would do some of you real good to listen to older men. They do have some wisdom about them when it comes not only to serving God, but to living in this world that we're living in. Some of you listen, I guarantee you, that you could avoid some of the problems of life if you would just listen to what somebody tries to tell you. Some of you young folk in here, you could avoid some real trouble if you'll listen to mom and daddy. If they're living right for God's glory, amen, and keeping you in the house of God, if you'll listen to what they tell you, you can avoid some real hardships on down the road. Amen, I know that's right. Now, the king here has set three presidents over the kingdom. And the Bible said that Daniel is preferred above those other three. And then he gives us the reason that he is. Because there was an excellent spirit in him. I wonder what that excellent spirit was. I don't believe Daniel lost his cool right quickly. I don't believe that he was harsh in making decisions. I don't believe that he jumped to any kind of a conclusion. I don't believe that he got discombobulated and frustrated over some little old minor petty anythings. I mean, here is a man, after all, my friend, that seasoned enough in God and seen what God can do and no realizes that he is faith and identified and yet remains faithful to God and goes right on with his prayer life just like he did aforetime. He never let that decree alter him one bit. And in the finality of it, he said, O king, he said, I've done you no harm and neither have I done any harm to the God that I serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Said he had an excellent spirit in him. I'm going to tell you why it was, because that was a Holy Spirit of working in him that had changed him. Old things had passed away and all things had become new. Daniel had learned how to love those that despised him. Oh, Daniel had learned how to live amongst those that hated him. Daniel had even learned how to serve those that despised the ground that he walked on. And he had learned how to get along with his peers in life, although they opposed everything that he stood for. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't like egg-sucking compromisers a bit more than you do. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We better learn to have the right attitude about it. I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid sometimes, church, we're not right careful. Knowing we're saved, we'll puff up our fleshly mind a little bit and we'll get the idea that we're something and they're nothing. When the real truth of it is, they're nothing, but neither are we, apart from the good grace of Almighty God. Oh, and I can magnify Him for grace. I'm sure that Daniel looked beyond what those men were and realized they had a need just like he had a need when he was a young man. Oh, if we could ever see that, I'm telling you, it'd do something about our evangelism. I'm here to tell you, if we don't do something in the church about evangelism, we're going to dry up and blow away. If some of of us don't get a burden to tell somebody about God and about Calvary, we'll riot someday and die. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, what about Thursday night visitation? What about being a witness 7 days a week? What about going out and inviting somebody to church and bringing them? Huh? Somebody said, we don't believe in bus routes. Who's got a bus? You got a car, don't you? Brother Bell's big. He ought to be enough family needs a bus, but he don't have one yet. Huh? That's right. Had an excellent spirit. And because now of the favor Daniel found in the eyes of both the Lord and Darius, it caused these presidents and princes of the kingdom to be filled with that evil duo. You know what that evil duo of life is, don't you? Envy and jealousy. And you know what envy and jealousy lead to? They lead to strife. I'm telling you, there is a trinity of evil, if there ever was. Envy, jealousy, and strife will make up one of the most single, heart-tribal trinities of the world that we're living in today. Brother, it never ceases to amaze me how folks can watch God bless somebody and become envious about that and grow jealous over that because God is not blessing them in the same way. Have you ever thought that the reason might be because your heart is not like Daniel's heart was and maybe your heart is not like their heart is? I'm telling you, I have never, my friend, ever gotten jealous of anybody to say by the grace of God that God will promote a little bit in this life. I've never grown jealous of another preacher that God has blessed in this life. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll be like those men and grow envious and jealous because God seems to be a blessing somebody more than what He's a blessing us. God help us. They said, look there. Who made, and look here, these folks are probably mostly Babylonians. I know they're not Jews, not the presidents anyhow. Because the other two presidents no doubt got all the little princes together and the counselors and said, now here's what we're going to have to do. This fella Daniel is a Jew. He's a Jew. And here we're all Babylonians. And I just don't think it's right for the king to honor him more than what he's honored us. And they set out with a little plot. And they began to look and seek out the life of old Daniel. And they said, hey, I've learned that he's faithful in everything. Not one area where he is not faithful. One of them probably stood up and said, hey, but I can tell you where he's got a weakness. We can find something concerning the law of his God. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, that Babylonian crowd is still alive, well, and kicking today. And they're out there just a-watching your life and a-waiting, my friend, for you to make one little mistake that they can find an occasion against you concerning the law of God. Oh, I'm telling you, as a child of God, brother, we live in a glass house, but we better walk a tight rope in this life, my friend, and be careful that we give none occasion to the unbelievers. Some they'll find enough fault and enough criticism without us giving them a reason, my friend, to find fault against us. That's right. I'm going to try not to. I've made some pretty dumb mistakes as a pastor. I won't try not to give folks that occasion anymore to find fault with the law of my God and me concerning the law of my God. But they did. They wanted to find that law, and so they said, well, what we'll do, we'll just set a decree that no man can make a petition before any man or God except the king. And here's what they did. They went into that king and said, O King Darius, live forever. They said, all of the king, all of the presidents and the princes and the counselors, we've all got together and decided to make this decree that no man can make a petition of any god or man save thee, O King, for 30 long days. I'm getting them a message. You just hang in there. I'll get there in just a minute. The two things they did to get what they wanted. Number one, they used a falsehood. Brother, I've never seen so many people today that will lie on a child of God. They'll lie on a Christian, my friend, to try to get what they want. And the second thing is they tried flattery. They said they've lifted that king up and put him in the place of a god. I'm telling you, my friend, if there's one thing that will turn the hearts of people today, it is a little flattering word and a little kind word to them. People love to have their ears tickled. And by the way, especially preachers, they love today to be flattered and elevated and lifted up to be something that they are not in the eyes of God. Are you listening to me? Flattery. Oh, saying flattery will get you everywhere. Flattery will get you nowhere with jobs. But oh, how they tried to flatter the king. Don't let anybody make a petition. Don't let anybody pray to any god or any man but you, O king. We'll deify you and we'll make a king. We'll make a god out of you. Now, I'm not on that this week, but I won't say that right here. Buddy, the king learned real quick when the writing had been signed and they come in and accuse Daniel. He had made a terrible mistake. Are you listening to me? You better be careful of little old flattering words that folks put in your ears. I'm telling you, the devil, my friend, with flattering words, will do his best to get you in a vulnerable position. And if he can ever get you there, you're in trouble with God. Amen. These men begin a plot against Daniel. They might destroy him. And they first used falsehood, and then they used flattery. And old Darius, having been lied to and flattered with the praises and of these men, signed that decree. But notice now, I'm getting them a message. Daniel, knowing that the writing was signed, he prayed just like he always had, knowing that that writing was signed. I'm going to tell you, listen to me right quickly. Brother, if we ever need men today that to pray and women to pray, it is in 2002. Matter of fact, October the 20th of 2002. Brother Steve asked me last night, he said, "Preacher," he said, "Brother Hall, how do you convince men and women that they ought to pray?" And I said, "Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been at this work a few years and I have not found, my friend, that every man and every woman will be fervent in prayer. Neither will they be a prayer warrior. But I'm glad every now and then that God will give a pastor a Daniel that come hell or come high water, friend, he's going to put God first in his life. And he realizes what there is in this thing called prayer. That it's through prayer that kingdoms are subdued. It's through prayer, my friend, that sin is overcome. It's through prayer, my friend, that we walk in victory. And folks are today because they're not praying, my friend. Oh, that God, Brother Doug, would speak to some of you this morning about your prayer life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Oh, Daniel, knowing the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, kneeled down. I want to say something right there. A man don't always have to kneel, but I think it's a pretty good posture for prayer. I found that the Lord kneeled in the Garden of Gethsemane. I found that Paul on the shores when he was leaving Ephesus knelt down and prayed with the elders. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with kneeling. That young rich man ran and kneeled down at the feet of our Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with a man or a woman humbling their stiff neck and their proud heart and putting their knees on the floor and learning to pray to the God of heaven. I'm telling you, that's where your power is at, friend. That's where your blessings are at, friend. That's where your rewards are at, friend. That's where your treasures are at. That's where your joy and happiness is at, is learning to pray and trust God to answer your prayers. Folks, have not because you ask not. You can't expect to get one thing from God if you don't ask. And old Daniel prayed. And I want to get this. This is not in my thoughts either, but I want to use it right quickly. And he thanked the God of heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest. It takes me longer to thank God for things than it does a lot of people to pray. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you a fact. Somebody said, preacher, I just say, the Bible said don't use vain repetitions. Thanking God is not a vain repetition. Every time you pray, you ought to thank God you're saved. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the book. Thank God for the blessed hope. Thank God for the blessed promises. Oh, Sister Hall, sing about the blessed promises of God. When was the last time we really got on our knees and prayed and thank God for the promises of a 1611 King James Bible, knowing that they're trustworthy, that they're solid as the rock of Gibraltar, that they're forever settled in heaven, that they shall never be moved, and a man that will build on them is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching on prayer this morning. That's something most of you know very little about. But I'm going to tell you the thing, Brother Doug, that stuck out in my mind on that. When Daniel got in his house, he did not, I'm preaching on open windows of the heart. When Daniel got in that house, he didn't have to open the windows. They were already open, friend. In other words, he made sure that he had a direct line of communication between him and God. Most people never pray until the disaster comes in their life. Most people never pray until somebody gets sick or somebody dies or we're near on bankruptcy. And then we want to start praying and asking God for help. But I'm telling you, it wasn't the case with Daniel. 24 hours prior to that day, everything was going smooth with Daniel. He had no problems in this life. He was the number one honcho in the Babylonian kingdom. But my friend, his windows were yet open toward Jerusalem. Open windows of your heart. I want to ask you something this morning. If you had to pray today, could you? Son, if I'm talking about it, Daniel had to pray. I've got a feeling him knowing that thing had been signed that somewhere in his prayer that day he said, "No, Lord, you know what they've done. And you understand I'm going to be faithful to you regardless of what happens. But Lord, you remember them little Hebrew boys that said, but our God will deliver us, but if he don't." Now that's the way I believe that's what Daniel said, but I know my God can deliver me, but Lord, if you don't, give me grace and give me help, Lord, to withstand or to stand in this trial of faith that I'm facing today. Yes, sir, but those windows were already open. And they were open toward Jerusalem. He didn't have to go in there and swing them open. I'm going to ask something. Could you pray today if you had to? Has the windows of your heart been closed by sin? Have the windows of your heart been closed by unfaithfulness? Have the windows of your heart been closed by coldness? Have we gotten so cold that we can't cry and weep before our God? Is there yet a peephole in your heart? Is there yet? Has the window got to the point where it's more or less a peep sight rather than a window anymore? I want to say as long as there's a peep sight you can look through and see the glories of the throne of Almighty God. Hallelujah, don't give up. Find yourself a prayer closet and close the doors and cry to God who heareth in secret, who will reward you openly. Bless His wonderful name. Glad God still hears and answers prayer. Amen. How about your heart? Those windows of it open? those windows being opened. Some of you probably got windows open, but notice his was open toward Jerusalem.
Amen.
They were looking in their, his heart was looking in the right place.
Amen.
I'm telling you, people today in churches are opening up their heart to everything but God.
Amen.
So let the world come in. We'll accept it with a grin. Nothing I can do. So I guess I'll lose. So let the world come in. I don't believe that's what it says. Boy, I'm telling you, hey, somebody said, hey, I am 56 years old. And I can remember that little old song back in that little old Methodist church in Underwood. It wasn't much, but I'm telling you, I thank God that it taught me a few things. But I never forgotten that little old song. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. I wish I could. How can I even think of a tune to it now? Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. If you get your heart to windows open toward Jerusalem, brother, you have a ray of sunlight that'll shine into your soul. And I'm not talking about no S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N light. Will shine down into the resources of your soul and elevate your spirit for God and will reward you and bless you in a way. Amen to God. You never dreamed they could. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad they blessings waiting.
Amen.
Huh? That's the reason some of you are always so sad. You've got your windows closed. That's why you worry, you got your windows closed. That's why you're cold, you got your window closed. Open her up and let God, hey, don't just open it up, open her up and keep her open 24/7 for business. Amen to God. Is right. Amen. I want to mention five things quickly that will help you keep your window, your heart open toward Jerusalem. Are you with me now? I'll hurry through these quickly. Time's almost gone. I want to say, number one, a right relationship. There must be a right relationship established between man and God. Somebody said, preacher, what on earth are you talking about? I'm going to tell you why some folks don't pray and why some folks can't pray that try to pray. No relationship. Absolutely no relationship whatsoever. I'm talking about, one of the requirements is a man got to be saved. You have got to be saved and be a son of God. Words that we call prayer are just empty words if we're not a son. There's no reward in the hand of God to an illegitimate child.
Amen.
No, listen to what the Lord said in that famous parable in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He said, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that a man or a woman must be saved in order to have an open window in their heart and pray to God to get that prayer out of there that's going to do any good. You have to be born again. That is right. God said, hey, if you as fathers on this earth being evil, if your son asked you an egg, would you give him a scorpion? But would you not give him, in other words, what he said, when would you not give your son, your earthly son, your fleshly son? If it's within your power, would you not give him what he asked for? Now, I'm sure if little old P-Dad, where'd he go? Joseph back there. I'm sure if he walked up to Brother Robert and said, "Daddy, give me a drink of water," Brother Robert would probably give him a drink of vinegar. No. What would you give him, Brother Robert? Water. Water. Would he have to beg for it? Would he have to get down and garble at your feet and just and whine and beg and beg and beg for that water? You'd readily give him that water. And I'm going to tell you the reason some of you is drier than last year's bird's nest. You ain't never learned to ask God for a little wah-wah. Remember how it was? You little wah-wah. Wah-wah. That one right there come up to me last night and pointed over to, or no, it was up here the other night at the bubblegum machine. Up here at the chili supper. All he could say was, "Daw." And I said, "Don't bother me now, boy, I'm talking." He wouldn't leave me alone. He said, "Daw. Daw." I said, "Well, let me see." I found 2 dimes. I said to him, I said, "Go get that boy some of that bubble gum." What are you saying, Fred? I'm saying, "Hey! Hey! The reason we're dry is we've never asked God for a drink of water. Son, He will give His children a drink. He'll bring streams out of the desert. He'll open the heavens and rain water out upon you and I. If we'll pray and ask God for it, I'll guarantee you will." Amen to God. Have you ever asked Him to help you with your children? Have you ever asked Him to help you with your finances? Have you ever asked Him to help you with your cares? Have you ever asked Him to help you with your anxieties? Have you ever asked Him to help you with your trouble? I'm talking about as a son. Have you ever asked Him? That right relationship, it has got to be there. It's got to be there. Got to be saved. Thank you, brother. And not only must be a son, but you're going to have to abide in the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 15:7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Let me ask you something, friend. How much the Word of God you got abiding in you? I'm very rapidly believing that the single greatest sin in Baptist churches is negligence of that Bible. You can't, He said, "Let that Word, you abide in me and let that Word abide in you. Don't get away from it." Hallelujah to God. And if my word is in you, son, ask what you will. How can we go wrong if the Spirit is living within us and the Scripture's abiding in us and the Son is on the throne and God the Father's overseeing it all and we've got a Bible in our hand, we've got the written Son on the pulpit and the living Son in the heart. How can we go wrong this morning? I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to get you where you can pray and get something from God. I won't say number two, and I won't spend much time now. I won't say number two. There must be a right relationship established. I won't say number two. There must be a readiness of the will. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean?" I mean, you're going to have to want to. And they asked Brother Milby, said, "Brother Milby, would you write a book on prayer?" He said, "Over a couple of years ago in the camp meeting," he said, "I wrote that book." He said, it's got one page in the whole book I wrote on prayer. I saw a face that looked kind of amazed. He said, "When you open the front cover, it'll just say, 'Just do it.'" Amen. And you got to have a will for it. Amen. That is right. You have to will for it. I'll never forget several years ago when I was just a young lad back at Brother Nolan's. I was praying, trying to ask God what I could do to draw closer to Him. And I was eating supper down at Pancake House, that international host of pancakes. One night, my wife and family and I, Brother Nolan, his wife, and I was telling him about wanting to draw closer to God. And I said, "Preacher," I said, "here's the verse of Scripture. Before I read it, Somebody tell me, how many times a day was Daniel praying? Well, I'm going to tell you, there must be something to it, because Brother David said in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Did you get that first word in that phrase? Will. Will I pray. Morning, evening, morning, and noon, will I pray. That's just the Bible's way of saying I've got a will, I've got a desire, I've got a determination to pray. And I'm telling you, without that desire, without that determination, you ain't going to have an open window in your heart. David was so determined, Daniel was so determined, that knowing that it could mean sure death, he went to that open window and kneeled and prayed. And he wasn't doing it as a showboat. He wasn't doing it to try to show people how... You know, some men, I think, want to pray, try to show people how spiritual they are. He wasn't trying to be a showboat. He done it because that was a way of life. That was his lifestyle, as he did aforetime. Wasn't nothing new in his life. He was used to praying because he had a will and a desire to communicate with his Heavenly Father. My goodness, I'm gonna tell you this. I love my children. I love my children. I believe as much as a daddy can. And I love to just sit down and talk with them when we can. I like to have them around me. And I love just to sit down and talk with them. Amen. We went yard sale with Ben and Angie yesterday morning. Me and Benny's are cutting up that bunch of tomfoolery like we always do, carrying on. And Miss Hall looked over to Angie and said, you see what you've got to go through with when this one's born? Nothing like it, is there, Brother Robert? There's nothing like a daddy and his boy, or a daddy and his little girl. Buddy, I'm telling you, there ain't no life like it in all the world. And I love them. I want to be around them. I tell you, I wish Tammy and Steve was back over here. Just to have them around me, just to see them in the church, just be around them, man, I'm telling you. Be able to talk with them, communicate with them, fellowship with them. How much more do you think our Heavenly Father has desired you and I, my friend, to have a will, have a desire to want to talk to Him? My goodness, He is our Father. I want to run that by you again. He is our Father this morning. I'm going to tell you what. When me and my big brother both go together to Him,
yes, sir.
He just don't say no. You catch that by slow freight after a while. Can you imagine how it would be if us and our big brother went to Him? There was a time when the sons of God came to appear before Him. Satan also come amongst them. Not Job. But I'm glad the sons of God, S-O-N-S, sons of God, come to appear before Him. But I'm talking about a will. There's got to be a will. There has got to be a will. There must be a readiness of this will, a desire, a determination. Number three. Oh. I believe this is probably one of the most important. The next two is the most important two. Well, the next three is the most important three that I mentioned. I want to say there must be a revelation of God's power.
Amen.
When I say God's power, I'm talking about God's abilities. Some of you in here don't believe what God can do.
Amen.
You have never had a revelation of the abilities of God to do in your life what He can do.
Amen.
May I remind you that in chapter 1, Daniel saw God sustain him by grace on pulse and water.
Amen.
In chapter number 2, Daniel saw God answer prayer and provide wisdom in interpreting a dream. In chapter number 3, Daniel, I'm sure Daniel heard about it. He probably wasn't there, but he heard about it because he wrote about it. He heard about God delivering those three boys out of that furnace of fire. In chapter 4, Daniel saw the judgment of God fall on King Nebuchadnezzar. And in chapter 5, Daniel saw God set down one king and raise up another one. May I say to you right there, the only reason that we need to pray for politicians Because God sets down one and sets up another. And God answers prayer. And if we want the politician up there that is right, then we better pray for him to get up there. I've heard men drop, bellyache, murmur, complain about Bill Clinton, and I'll guarantee they wasn't 15 prayers offered for George Bush to be elected back in 92. Are you listening to me? We don't have any right to beef, buddy. We've got what we deserve. Hey, as a matter of fact, we've got what we asked for. Somebody said, oh, I didn't ask God to put him in there. Did you ask God not to put him in there? And if you voted for him, you're an egg sucker. I'm not a voting for anybody that kills babies. That man vetoed the partial birth abortion bill twice. I read that little article in the paper the other day. That woman that wrote them articles, that national syndicated columnist, whatever her name is, she said we probably got one of the wisest presidents that ever lived in George Bush. You know what he's done? He come in the back door on that bunch of baby killers. Now, here it is. That bunch of liberals, do they not champion the poor and the helpless and the homeless and all that? You know what George Bush has done? He's brought a bill into Congress that will provide Medicare and medical attention, for any pregnant woman that doesn't have the money to take care of it. But there's a little clause in there. That little baby in the belly's got to be called an unborn child. They'll change the law from fetus to unborn child. And they passed it hook, line, and sinker. Because it even takes in illegal immigrants. And anybody that's carrying a little unborn baby in their womb covers them all. And them Democrats said, we got to do this. The poor will say, we ain't for the poor man no more. They never have been.
Right.
They've raised our taxes every time they've ever been raised. Go back and look. I'm not politicking this morning, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Democratic Party has been in power every time a tax increase has went into effect, and we're now up to 33%, buddy. And that doesn't include gasoline tax. That doesn't include sales tax. That doesn't include this tax and that tax and every other tax you can think about. Every time you go up here and buy a gallon of gas, don't rake the gasoline companies over the coals. You're paying 39 cents a gallon tax on it. Plus sales tax. They tax you to death, buddy. Didn't talk about being for a poor man. I don't know how I got off on that. That won't hurt you none. Praise God. But old Daniel had a revelation of God's power. I want to ask something, Corinth. Is there anything too hard for God? Have you ever seen His abilities? Is there anything? Woo! About like you, like Brother Pace was. Is there anything too hard for God? Take a God that spoke everything there is into existence. Created man out of the dust of the earth. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Made him a living soul. Created the heavens and the earth and set man in the midst of the earth.
Amen.
Has enough power, my friend, to deliver people out of bondage in Egypt. Yeah. Enough power to dry up the waters of the whole sea. Yeah. Send back the waters, my friend, of the mighty Jordan River. Yeah. Has enough power to cleanse the sick, to cleanse the lepers and heal the lame. Yeah. And open the ears of the blind and the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. Oh, and to raise the dead out of the grave. I'm telling you what a God we've got of ability. You realize what God can do? Somebody said, what can God do in my life? I'm going to tell you what He can do in your life, Brother Andy. Anything you want Him to. Anything. He can make a dead wound fertile. Thank Thee. He can make the spiritual womb of a barren church just as fertile. Can God save old sinners? I say God can save old sinners, God can. I said, how do you know I'm saved? I'm saved. I'm really saved. I'm alive in Him. I've got resurrection power. I've got the Holy Ghost in my bosom. I'm can. He can. He really can. Can He forgive sin? Sure He can. Cast it as far from us as the east is from the west. Woo! Is there anything too hard for Him? Daniel prayed because he knew there was nothing impossible. And here is Daniel in captivity. And he knew that he served a God that had enough power to get him back to Jerusalem. Joseph had that same faith. When Joseph told his brother, said, when God visits us, take my bones back up there. Don't you leave my bones down here. Take me. Son, that's believing God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He ain't going to leave our bones down here either. Woo! No! Don't leave my bones down here. Carry me up hence, oh God. But don't leave my bones in this God-forsaken place. Oh, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to say, fourthly, there must be a resolve to live by faith. Your windows of your heart won't be open too wide unless you believe God. Got to be a resolve. I mean, I'm just simply going to live with faith. Listen to this. Who do you think wrote this? If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity. Where was Daniel at? In the land of captivity in Babylon. Whither they have carried them captive and pray toward this land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward this city which thou hast chosen, and toward this house which I have built for thy name, then hear from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Who do you think wrote that? Dr. Brother Solomon. When he dedicated that temple, he said, Lord, said, if you carry people off to Jerusalem, if you carry people captive because of their sin, and they pray toward this place, this city, and this house, then here, where was these windows open toward? Oh, Daniel said, Lord, you wrote it in the book. It's in your word by the hand. Hey, and by the way, Lord, not only did you write it in a book, but when Solomon wrote it and prayed it, God said, hey, Solomon, I have heard your prayer. And there he is three times a day. Lord, return our captivity. You said you would, Lord. You promised in that book. Somebody said, well, he didn't get the job done. Yeah, he did. 70 years after they went down there, a fellow by the name of Zerubbabel said, come on, children. That window of Daniel's heart has been opened and he prayed three times a day toward the city. Guess what? God finally answered that prayer. And we're going home. Going home, going home, going home. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We are fixing to go home, going home, going home, going home. I'm glad, thank God, that there's a window open! There's a window open. Open the windows of heaven, oh God. My window, my heart is open. Now open the windows of glory. And pour your blessed power and grace out upon your covenant people. What are you going to do with this verse of Scripture? For without faith, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know why? Hey, do we really have enough faith to believe that God will reward our prayers? They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That faith. Then I'm going to close with this. There must be a renouncing of the flesh. We'll never get an open heart, window in our heart, open until we can overcome this flesh. And I want to say that's one of the single biggest reasons that God's people don't pray. We're lazy. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm not lazy. I work 5 days a week." I know it. But we're too lazy to pray. Too lazy to pray. That's exactly how it is. "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is weak." Now I want to show you something. That flesh was weak, but the flesh was stronger than the spirit. Sounds like a paradox, don't it? The flesh was weak in the fact that it was overcome with weariness and went to sleep. But the flesh was very strong in the fact that Peter and those other two disciples allowed the flesh to deprive them of obedience and prayer time. You get a hold of that now? Open windows of the heart. And Daniel, when he knew that the decree had been signed, went to his house. His old windows being opened toward Jerusalem, kneeled and prayed and thanked the God of heaven as he did aforetime. Are you praying? Are you praying?
Amen.
May God move our heart today.
Amen.
To teach us to pray and come to the realization that in prayer lies the great source of our strength and our power.
Amen.
Our victory and our joy. You have not because you ask not. You ask Him to make you happy. Go to read John 14, 15, and 16. He talks about one of those chapters about praying and asking Him for joy.
Amen.
Ask Him for a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be afraid to ask. Look here. Brother Stevie said this morning. He talked about, didn't say this, but he talked about those little children in John 2. Being forgiven of their little children. To God, we're just little children. And the Lord, hey, look here. Your little bitty baby, as soon as they can talk and before they can talk, they don't have any problem asking you for some of the smallest little things that now, to you, it would be silly.
Right.
But to that little baby, it's a need that they cannot meet themselves. So it is with God when we're little children in Him, just little children. Some of the little things that we ask for when we grow up, a little bit in Him will seem silly, but we need to ask Him for them. That will make asking for the bigger things a whole lot easier. And don't be afraid to ask Him for big things. I'm not a health and wealth and all this and name it and claim it, but I think we miss out on some of the greatest blessings of God because we do not ask Him for big things. Big things. There's nothing too hard for Him. Nothing. Well, somebody said, God won't do it. Won't do what? God can't do what?
Right.
There's not anything He won't do for you, for His glory and your good, and there's nothing that He can't do for you. Nothing.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. Let's stand.